Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Diana Ross on a Motown Monday. Good to have you with us. Final hour of Power Time, baby. We'll take you up till 4 o'clock. Oh, Linnell Willingham will be in for Craig Hoffman, the youngest in charge, the main event messiah, or whatever the hell he calls himself, whatever brand he's got running this week. I don't need brands. I don't need slogans. I just need Jay Gruden. Every Monday at 3 o'clock, we are honored to talk to the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and offensive coordinator for a couple of NFL teams and our NFL analyst on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, Jay Gruden joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Chris. I'm doing just fine.
Great. Good to have you, as always. So let's, there's so many ways I wanted to start with you. I mean, obviously, we don't have to talk about the Commanders as much, but I still want to get there because you said on this spot, on this show, well, in the spot a week ago, that you really thought Jaden Daniels' ribs were still bothering him. I assume with what you saw on Thursday night, you're still fairly convinced of that?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that he can't tolerate it. I just think they're being very protective of it. He is, too, because, you know, those things can be sore. I've had them before, and last thing you want to do is run into a pile and get hit again. You know, I think his throwing motion looks okay. I just think his ability to run has just been limited a little bit. And that's a big factor because that's really what he's special at, one of his attributes anyway.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was there anything besides Jaden which would severely concern you or strongly concern you with the Commanders moving forward? Or do you chalk that up to, man, two games against two really good defenses in the span of 5 days after a long, long stretch here?
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the Thursday game with the young quarterback. Those are always tough. You know, if you have a veteran quarterback, it's not so much because he's very familiar with a lot of different plays and a lot of different play concepts. When you have a young quarterback, you might have to put in a few new concepts for a new defense. It's hard to get them all rep during the week because you're probably just doing walkthroughs. So that's a little bit more difficult. Thursday night games are harder on younger players than they are for veteran players. But let's chalk that up. And you know, I think there's some miscommunication there too, which I think can point to the fact they didn't have enough time to prepare.
Yeah. You know, J.O., people always talk about, so what? Them's the breaks, right? You got to play the schedule. You know me. I care a lot about the schedule, and I always thought you got screwed as the head coach on these really wackadoo short weeks and tough turnarounds and, you know, Monday night road game and Sunday afternoon road game and all that stuff. I care a lot about that stuff. You just outlined some of the issues with that. The NFL says, well, guys don't get hurt more on Thursday nights than they do on Sundays. My thing is, guys can't recover. Guys can't prepare mentally, physically, emotionally. Guys can't get healthier, whereas maybe they would be able to play on a Sunday, or they would be, I don't know, 80% instead of 70% or whatever it is by playing on a Thursday night. Do you buy any of that, or is it just, man, that's the way it is, and everybody, you know, has kind of the same situation?
Yeah, I do buy some of that. There are some players that would possibly play on a Sunday that may not be able to play on a Thursday. And maybe, you know, instead of being 90%, they're 70%. Mm-hmm. They're not running their full capacity. And mentally, I think it's tough on a lot of guys because, you know, I don't think the NFL people really understand how much detail goes into a game plan, how hard it is to come up with a game plan for all the situations that come up. This is a preseason where it doesn't really matter if you win or lose. This is a regular season game. It's very important, and it's a division game at that with division leaders. You know, you have an important game like that with only 3 or 4 days of work on it. You're playing on the road. You're leaving on Wednesday. Just played a hard game on Sunday. It's tough on those guys. It's tough on the coaches as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us, as always, spelling out the truth. All right, let's get to some of yesterday's action. So we were just talking about the Ravens and the Steelers. Steelers are a good team. I think we all recognize that. They win a game without scoring an offensive touchdown, a bunch of field goals. Chris Boswell, one of the best. Danny Smith, always good on that side of the ball. But the Baltimore equation in this, Jay, is hard to kind of figure out, right? You lose a game by two. There's no insult in that, in division, that rivalry, all that. But Derrick Henry, 13 touches. Derrick Henry not on the field for the two-point conversion. Derrick Henry, no touches, I guess, in the entire fourth quarter. How do you make heads or tails out of that?
Well, if you look at the game, the fourth quarter, he did have a touch. They threw him a screen pass for a gain at 15, and he got called back for illegal man downfield. Then I think Lamar threw a pick on the next play. Pittsburgh went on to have a very long drive, and they came back, and I think they were down 8, and they had to go two-minute drill, basically. So they didn't really get a chance to utilize Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. A two-point play I can't really explain. I think he should have been out there. If anything else, if they want to run a bootleg or something like that, fine. The quarterback designed run was not against the optimal front. It was a terrible front. Pittsburgh was in base defense. Aguilar had to block an outside linebacker. He blew it up. It was just a poor play call against that personnel grouping that Pittsburgh put on the field. But the Derrick Henry thing, I can kind of understand. I've been in that situation before. You know, you got to put Justice Hill out there as a pass threat, down 8. You know, that was a long drive. And they got in the end zone. They just didn't get the two-pointer.
I understand all of that, but, you know, you mentioned they did target Derrick Henry once in the fourth. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great receiver, but, like, I don't know. To me, I would want that threat out there so that they think it's at least going to him, right? As opposed to not having him out there, even though maybe you have better person. And Harbaugh was saying today, I think it was today, or maybe it was after last night's game, you know, that we're shuttling in personnel. That's just not the personnel package that we had for that particular play call. But to me, I would want Henry out there so that everybody's thinking the ball's going to Henry, and then maybe you run a little play action, or at least the threat of Derrick Henry being out there so you could loosen up something else in the passing game.
Yeah, on a two-point play. But in a two-minute drill, when you're down 8, you need Justice Hill out there. He's a way better pass catcher. You know, they tried to wheel around. He had a big play, actually, a 20-yard gain, I think, to really get the drive going. Yep. Absolutely on a two-point play. That's only 2.5 yards away. And in the inside zone, the power plays, the dual plays, they're all still a threat. So the play actions and the bootlegs off of there, like you said, are much better, especially against base defense.
Yeah.
You know, they had five big guys, and they had four bigs and three linebackers out there. And Baltimore's an 11 personnel. That is not suitable for a quarterback designed run.
The other big game, obviously, was the Bills handing the Chiefs their first loss. I don't think anybody was shocked by this. But clearly the call by and the decision by Sean McDermott on 4th and 2 and then the execution, Josh Allen, what can you say about him? Superman, when they could have, you know, easily said, hey, like, let's kick a field goal here, and then Kansas City would have to score a touchdown to beat us. If you were in that position to make that call, do you think you would have gone for it, or do you think you would have taken the field goal and risked that Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to beat you?
My quarterback, Josh Allen, I'd probably go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, they call
it helps to have Josh Allen is basically what you're saying.
It's funny. They called a bad play. They called a man beater into his zone, and Josh Allen just took off and ran. It's unbelievable. You know, that's the type of guy that he is. He can make an offensive coordinator look like a genius. Oh, what a great call by the offensive coordinator. I can't believe McDermott went for it. They actually called a bad play. But Josh made the most of it.
So when you say, all right, so I guess take me through that. When you say they called the bad play, I understand what you're talking about, man beater and zone and all that. Like, when they're signaling down the play, right, they're not getting a chance all the time to necessarily look at how Kansas City is lining up, right? They have to just guess how Kansas City is going to line up pre-snap when you call a man beater type play.
Yeah, a lot of times you call a man beater, you line up in a formation that'll tell you if it's man or not. Put a tight end outside, see if a safety goes out there. If the corner stays out there, you know it's zone. Maybe put a back outside. If the backer runs out there, you know it's man.
Sure.
There's a lot of ways to find if it's man or zone. And then if it is zone, then you have a zone beater, whether it's a run or some kind of zone beater as well. Yeah. So there's ways to tell. I'm surprised they didn't have that done. But when you have Josh Allen, you know, just call the man beater, and if they zone it off, pass it off, then Josh, you just run for 25-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Does that game and that result tell you anything moving forward besides it's just a great Week 11 win and it's the first loss for the Chiefs? Or do you still need to see Buffalo in a big spot in January close the deal like they did yesterday?
Well, obviously that's going to happen eventually. But yes, I think they have all the ability to do that with him at quarterback, and their defense playing pretty damn good. And obviously Kansas City has to answer the question, who's another weapon? They got to get Pacheco back. Worthy's got to become more of a factor downfield. He can't catch balls and run out of bounds all the time. And they got to get the tackles figured out. So there's I think the AFC is pretty much open with Buffalo and Kansas City. And you look at the Chargers and Justin Herbert, the way he's throwing the ball, and Baltimore, of course, and Pittsburgh's way they play defense. You know, there's a lot of teams that come out of the AFC, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group as we spin around the NFL. If you missed a couple of minutes ago, Jay talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders offense moving forward. Make sure you podcast this spot after the show on the Odyssey app or the team980.com or hit rewind. All right, so you mentioned the Chargers. Obviously, they had the big lead. Justin Herbert looked great. Then they seemingly fell asleep. Joe Burrow comes alive. Once again, the officials miss another quarterback face mask. And once again, we have no system to replay it, even though we actually have a system, or to review it, I should say. And then Burrow completes the comeback, but then they leave too much time on the clock. And the Chargers come right back with the big rushing touchdown late. That game was wild, obviously, and it probably seals the deal on Cincinnati, but it absolutely keeps the Chargers, like you said, in contention for, you know, one of the top AFC playoff spots.
Yeah, for sure. Very unlike McPherson to miss two field goals as well. That's unbelievable. Yeah. That was a hell of a game, hell of a comeback. And it's just been Cincinnati's MO this year. They played a lot of close games, lost a lot of 3 points. They can't seal the deal. They have something to come up, whether it's a defense, a kicking game, or an interception late, or whatever it was. They just can't get out of their own way in crunch time. So that's I really improve on. If they could probably got to win out to get to 10-7 or 9-8 to have a chance, but that's going to be a long shot with the schedule that they have.
No doubt. 34-27, the final score there at SoFi. I wanted to ask you about Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, and the Falcons. I mean, obviously they got drubbed. That's neither here nor there. I think everybody, you know, understands that Bo Nix is coming alive and Sean Payton was a good fit for him and so on and so forth. And Denver's defense tough, and that's a tough place to play. But the decision at the end of the first half to throw basically, you know, an out route near the sideline with no timeouts and 10 seconds left, theoretically, Jay, it makes sense. But again, if you don't operate that, if you don't execute that perfectly and get out of bounds, you screw yourself and you don't have a chance, as opposed to going for the Hail Mary, which a lot of people thought, well, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't, what have you. I wanted to get your thought on that particular situation and I guess how you kind of decide, all right, do we go for the Hail Mary or do we try and squeeze one more play here, even with the risk of not having any timeouts?
Hail Marys at halftime are kind of scary to me because I've seen Hail Marys get intercepted, run back for touchdowns. You know what I mean? They're just a little scary to me. You want to take a shot, that's fine, but if you have the ability to get it up to field goal range with an out route, I'd rather take that route. You know, obviously it's got to go right, like you said, but I didn't see that game. That wasn't on TV where I was at.
Gotcha.
But I can understand why they would try to get the out route and try to bomb a field goal because they do have a kicker that could kick it through the roof. So I can imagine that's what they're thinking. Trying to get to 3 points, it's a lot easier than trying to throw up a Hail Mary and avoid a sack and a turnover, a sack fumble or something like that.
Yeah, and I guess why that caught my attention was because a lot of people thought, oh, you know, like when Jaden and the Commanders did not throw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half on Thursday night, that was a pure indication that he just couldn't do it and that he's hurting and what have you. So I was paying a little more attention to that in that spot with the result the way it was. And I guess, like, you say the return. I just say, like, you know, Hail Marys are such a low percentage play. I'd rather try something else. And they clearly tried to get two plays in. One other part, and again, I know you didn't get to watch that game, but just from a coaching philosophy standpoint, you know, Raheem, in a 14-3 game, went for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 39-yard line, and they converted. Kirk made a great pass right in a zone, and they got it. But I wanted to ask you this: when you're a struggling offense, as they were in this particular case, down 14-3, you have a bad defense, which you know a thing or two. You didn't always have the greatest defenses here. How tempted were you in those spots to just say, screw it, I got to keep the ball on offense, I got to go for it, even if it's on my side of the field, I've got to make sense, I can't punt it away because we're just going to give up 7. Like, from a coaching philosophy standpoint, has that really changed over the last 3 to 5 years, or was that like constantly a thing in your mind? I can't punt it, I can't give it away because my defense can never make a stop.
That has a lot to do with it. Sometimes, I can remember going for it against Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers from our own 35, 4th-and-1, because damn sure you don't want to punt it back to them, put your defense back on the field, and just watch them go right down the field. So, yeah, that plays a lot into it. That's why I say analytics are silly, because every situation is different. Every offense is different. Every defense is different. The personnel on the field are different. The situation is different. So I think it's a feeling by your coach, and I think at that time it was necessary for Raheem to go for it, to try to get a spark too. If you get it, everybody might get a spark, get a little bit excited, might, turn it around a little bit, momentum changes. If you don't get it, obviously the risk is pretty big, but if you do get it, I think the reward's a lot better than the risk in that situation.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I guess I'm a risk guy as opposed to a reward guy. So maybe it depends on your mentality, your philosophy, right? I'm a little bit more conservative by nature. I'm always thinking, well, what if it does? I understand why you do it if it works. What if it doesn't work? You're putting your bad defense even in more peril. But either way, I understand where you're coming from. Wanted to get your thoughts on Anthony Richardson. I know what kind of specimen he is. He played great yesterday. Got it. Road win. Jets. The Jets came alive after a terrible start. All of that. But, man, I keep thinking every time he lowers the boom, which I know he's got to kind of do, especially inside the 5, and he was successful at it, that he's going to get injured. How do you kind of, look at a guy like Anthony Richardson, who's clearly got the body, the prototype, the size, the speed, the athleticism to do all that you want him to do, but he's been hurt a lot, and how do you kind of manage that?
Well, I think that's a strength, and you have to utilize. That's why I have a backup like Joe Flacco. You have to have a good backup, because for Anthony to be successful at quarterback in the National Football League, a la Cam Newton, you have to have quarterback design runs to really even out the box for you as a play caller. And those are the plays that you have to have in your game. You can't expect him to just drop back and be a drop back quarterback. He's got to be able to run lower shoulder quarterback. These are true quarterback design runs between the tackles, not like Jaden Daniels' own reads get out on the perimeter. I'm talking between the between the tackles, power, quarterback draws up in there, bunch crunches where you're pinning the end and getting outside like he did on a 2-point on a touchdown to win it. He's got to have those. Doesn't have to go crazy, but he's got to have like 7 or 8 of those a game for them to be successful. And then if something happens, he's got to learn how to protect himself, obviously, but then you got to put in Flacco. But that's his strength. You have to utilize his strength in a game when you're calling plays.
All right, Green Bay, Chicago ended controversially with the blocked field goal. So I wanted to ask you this, Eberflus is taking a lot of heat for not running another play, with the final play from scrimmage being at 30 seconds or so, and they had one timeout, and they chose not to run a play, and then they get the blocked field goal. Would you have absolutely run a play there? Would you have done what Eberflus did? Do you think it had any impact on the block of Cairo Santos?
Well, the issue was they had one timeout. They wanted to save it, obviously, for the kick. So they were in. They would have had to go no huddle and get to a formation and get to a run, which is not that hard to do. But there is a chance Green Bay goes all out, loads up the box, and tackles you for a loss or whatever. There are some issues. It's not a guaranteed 5-yard run just because you're right. Going no huddle and running the ball. And all these guys, these experts, hey, run another play. Well, what play you want me to run? You want me to drop back with Caleb Williams, who's a rookie, and throw it to DJ Moore, get it tipped and intercepted? Then you really look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I feel for Eberflus on that one. That's a tough one. I would like to see him run another play, like between the tackles, like a gap blocking play that's pretty safe. Try to get 2 or 3 more yards. That would have been ideal. And then call a timeout. But, he chose to do, probably the conservative way out. get a kick. And then, you know, the block kick was illegal. I mean, I don't know why people don't talk about that.
Oh, I was just going to ask you that because they just absolutely engulfed him, right, with three different guys, right?
Three guys. You can't do it one guy, let alone three. I mean, that's unbelievable. So I don't know. These referees on the field goal block teams are missing the boat a little bit.
Yeah, what a surprise. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers blow another one late at home. There's all sorts of talk from some pockets that Kyle, if they don't make the playoffs, get fired. What do you make out of San Francisco? Is it just injuries, or is there something missing there that is different from previous years in your eyes?
San Fran has plenty of talent. I get tired of hearing they get more injury excuses than anybody I've ever heard of in my life. There's a lot of teams with a lot of different injuries, but nobody gets this type of baby in that they get for whatever reason. Kyle's a great football coach, but there's no reason for them to lose to Seattle yesterday. They got plenty of weapons. They got McCaffrey. They got Debo. They got Brent Jennings. They got good players. Mm. Trent Williams. They got good defensive players. They got more good players than Seattle does. I promise you that, but you know, it's tough. You know, I don't think he should get fired, but I think he is underachieving a little bit this year. There's still a long way to go. I still think San Fran's a major player in the NFC. I think they're going to get it right. Brock just can't throw interceptions, and they got to protect the ball a little bit better. But I think the heat should be on a little bit, but I don't think any way in hell that he gets fired.
All right, one last one for you. Jay Gruden with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group, as always, each and every Monday at 3 o'clock here, normally recapping a Commanders game, but they played on Thursday night, so we spent just a couple of minutes on them. Daniel Jones benched today by Brian Daboll and the Giants. Nobody should be surprised by that. I don't know if you make heads or tails over Tommy DeVito versus Drew Locke, but do you think this is more a football decision or a financial decision? And I know the financial part of it is complicated, but you know they got the injury guarantees and the cap and all that stuff. Because to me, I think it's certainly both, Jay, but I don't know if it's just a pure football decision.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know exactly what the salary cap is about and how much guaranteed money he has, but he deserves to be benched. I mean, he's been bad. He's had guys open. He hasn't pulled the trigger. He hasn't used his athleticism like he should. They should be a lot better than they are. Their running game's not bad. Tyrone Tracy's running the ball very well. They have true number one receiver, Malik Nabers. I know he's missed a couple games. So I don't know what the deal is with their offense. Their line's not great. I get it, but he just has not performed up to the level of a high-paid quarterback should. So give Danny DeVito a chance, and I think next year they're going to have to blow up the building. You know, I don't know, new coach, new quarterback, if they can do that in a year, but something has to change because they have not done anything close to what their ability should be.
No doubt. A lot of stuff going on. All right, and one last one. I got to squeeze this in. What do you think of your brother getting a new job? Barstool Sports? What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's going on there. I know he's doing a lot of shows on YouTube, but feeling nicey stuff. But now he's working with Portnoy and those guys. That'll be an interesting combination. That's like, I don't know. John likes the attention. John likes the limelight. So does Portnoy. They might butt heads eventually, but they'll be good for each other.
That's a peppery combination, man. You're right. Just all of those Barstool guys, but especially Portnoy.
They're going to have the cameras pointing everywhere on that one. They both want the cameras on themselves.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've seen some clips already. John looks very he looks very amused by what's going on there. All right, good for him. Jay, as always, I appreciate you. Sorry for keeping you so long. Thank you. Talk to you again next week, all right?
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, the F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Time for a timeout right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Aggressive Carlson coming after. That's William Carlson coming after John. It's a puck from the far side. They score! A puck shot in by Ovechkin. It looked like it kicked off Samsonov. And into the net, Alex Ovechkin appears to have a power play goal. With 14:01 to go here in the first, it's 1-0 Washington. Moving in now is Eichel. And Eichel's pass behind the back and a great feed, but he didn't quite get it across. And the Capitals intercept and move. It's Ovechkin coming right side. He shoots and scores! Alex Ovechkin's second goal of the game drives Shin fires from the right side. It's 4-2 Washington. As Vegas will attack, Bronis, they turn it over to him, ahead to Ovechkin. He's got the empty net, and he's got it. It's a hat trick for Alex Ovechkin into the empty net on a feed from Alexei Bronis. All the celebration, Bronis all smiles, and coming to Ovechkin, the smiles on the bench as well. The Capitals are going to take down the Golden Knights, and hats coming onto the ice for the Grade 8 here at T-Mobile Arena. 31st hat trick of his career. We can't say it's his biggest moment at T-Mobile Arena, but it's a big one.
Yeah, I wonder why John Walton can't say it's his biggest moment. If you remember that magical night, June of 2018. June 7th, 2018. You know, I know, because I was there. Ah, yes. Alex Ovechkin's 11th, 12th, and 13th goals of the year, and 864, 865, and 866th of his brilliant career, leaving him, what, just 29 goals short of breaking Wayne Gretzky's record, is scored and presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. That's right, boys and girls. 866. The second goal was the best of the three. I mean, the empty netter was not your typical empty netter, like, you know, just cruising around, like strolling for a walk in the park. And, you know, he had to, like, box out a guy, lean into him, shield him, and basically guide the puck in. But the second goal, great feed. I forget who it was. Was it Protus that had the feed? I want to say it was Protus. Through center ice and through the neutral zone, and Alex just blasted it. And Ilya Samsonov, his former teammate, did not have a chance. Caps with the big win in Vegas last night, their first regular season win in Las Vegas. Yes, their first regular season win. Of course, they won two in the Stanley Cup Final, including that magical Game 5. So again, thanks to our friends at Main Street Bank and Maddie with a great job on the production. As always, the Caps back on the ice tonight against the Utah Hockey Club in Salt Lake City, Utah. That game is on 106.7 The Fan and the Caps Radio Network and the Odyssey app. 9 o'clock for the puck drop there. We'll see if the Grade 8 can draw just a little bit closer. But first, it is time for our trending alert right here, right now. And then we will get to cleanup on aisle 3. Yeah, again, as we just mentioned and as you just heard, Alex Ovechkin coming off the hat trick. Again, he'll shoot for more tonight, 9 o'clock, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, as we mentioned. Meanwhile, the Wizards are just shooting for a win at this point. They're at Madison Square Garden after a disappointing home loss last night to the Detroit Pistons. Knicks are 7-6. Wiz have lost 8 in a row, 2-10 overall, 7:30 the tip, 7:15 the pregame coverage right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Monday Night Football tonight, Houston, Dallas. No radio coverage for tonight because we got all the play-by-play going. Houston and Dallas, 6-4 Texans visiting the 3-6 Cowboys, 8:15. Of course, the Cowboys are here this upcoming Sunday against the Commanders, who come from the weekend off. And as we told you about, and as Jay Gruden just described, the New York Giants have benched Daniel Jones. He will be the emergency third quarterback. Tommy DeVito's going to get the start over Drew Locke, which was a little bit of a surprise to everyone. Plenty of coverage throughout the show on that and everything NFL when we return. Clean up on aisle 3, which will feature a big playoff win here in the district. That's coming up. Stay tuned. All right, we continue along on a Motown Monday, wrapping things up here. Final 15, 16 minutes of the show. Lynnell Willingham in for Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock. That ought to be feisty, huh, boys and girls? I haven't seen the YIC, the MEM, the main event messiah, just yet. I hope he's here, but I haven't seen him.
Well, it's not 401 yet, so.
Yeah, that's true. You should have heard and seen Brian Mitchell's response when I told him who the main event Messiah was earlier today.
Did they have to clean the side studio out? Some kind of violent bodily reaction?
Oh, man, there's so many things I could say. Oh, baby. It was just fun. There's nothing that I take more pride in this show. I mean, I take a lot of pride. I think we do a pretty good job, right? Not perfect. Everybody complains about a lot of things that they shouldn't complain about.
Good. If they're complaining, they're listening.
Yeah, that's true. But the ability to bust chops, onions, grapefruits, balls on this show, I think it's pretty good. Especially, you know, compared to other shows that I listen to. I think it's pretty good. And I think if you have an open mind and you don't like cookie cutter textbook sports talk radio, this is the show for you. If you like textbook cookie cutter sports radio, that's your decision. Then there's plenty of other options for you. But we don't do that here. So it is what it is. All right. Without further ado, we have to clean up everything that we haven't gotten to just yet, or the messes that we've made. I don't think we've made that many messes today, but there is something important to be said right here, right now. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, coming up, a couple of quotes from Dan Quinn, who is meeting with the media for the first time since Thursday night in just moments. But first, a major kudos salute to the Washington Spirit, who have advanced to the NWSL Championship for the second time in 4 years, if I'm counting that right. They, of course, won the championship in Cincinnati a couple of years ago. And it's been a little bit of a tough grind over the last couple of years. But with Saturday afternoon stirring, emotional, penalty kick shootout, kicking ass of New York, New Jersey, at Audi Field, which was absolutely rocking. And I watched, again, the entire game on CBS. They did an unbelievable job because it looked like their season was going to come to an end. They have advanced to Saturday night in Kansas City, the NWSL Championship, 8 o'clock, again on CBS, Saturday, November 23rd, against the Orlando Pride, who, unfortunately, they're 0-2 against this year. But they are 9-9-7 against in their franchise history. Last win, last August, 2023, a 1-0 shutout win. Orlando beat Kansas City yesterday. There's all sorts of watch parties and all that stuff. You can check out the Spirit, WashingtonSpirit.com. It is a great product. And they didn't even really, again, they almost lost, so I want to be careful about what I say. They didn't really get the great game, the great performance out of Trinity Rodman, who's the player that, you know, even the most casual fans, I think, know. But, man, let me tell you something. They don't win that game. They don't win in the shootout. They don't win in regulation. They don't do what they did without Aubrey Kingsbury. That's right. Their goaltender. And that's right. Kingsbury. So, as I quipped on Saturday afternoon, Cliff, it's your turn. There's already a playoff hero named Kingsbury here in Washington, D.C. Aubrey Kingsbury stopped all three. All three. Do you realize how hard it is to stop one penalty kick? One.
Oh, the very short period of time that I played soccer, I was a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It's important to note because you have never seen me with glasses because I've got LASIK, but I used to have the worst vision. And I hated my rec specs. So where's the best place to put the kid that can't see?
In goal.
Yeah. I didn't last long.
I was going to say, how did that work out for
one
you?
Season.
Well, Aubrey Kingsbury, again, is not only their starting goaltender, not only great, you know, and part of the reason why they're here and all of that. But again, on Saturday, not only during regulation and the two 15-minute overtime periods, but especially in the penalty kick situation, not one, not two, but three consecutive saves. And the Washington Spirit won the NWSL semifinal to advance. And pandemonium again. I mean, if you've seen all the videos and all that stuff, I mean, it's just unbelievable. What a great atmosphere they have there. They have done it perfectly because they bounced around from the Maryland Soccerplex when I first started going to a couple of their games out to Loudoun, where DC United Plus or whatever the hell they call it, the younger, I guess, DC United, I don't even know what the hell to call them, where they play their games. They play their son. They started playing at Audi Field 4 or 5 years ago. I was at the first game at Audi Field, complete sellout. Saturday, complete sellout. Just a great atmosphere, loud, energetic, and what a performance, again, by the Washington Spirit. And I'll tell you what, again, they are not just Trinity Rodman. So we hope to get one of the players on at some point this week. We will see if we can make that happen. But Saturday night, they will play for the championship in Kansas City. And if they win, again, it will be their second championship in just the last couple years. So kudos and congratulations to the Washington Spirit. Can't say that enough. And go, ladies. All right. From Dan Quinn, we just got this word and information. He is hopeful, not definitive, that Marshawn Lattimore practices this week. He's hopeful. They're going to be cautious with the soft tissue injury, which some have said they're already being cautious. But my goodness. So much for all those stories about how Marshawn Lattimore was just going to snap his finger and play once he got out of New Orleans, huh? Either this is a really, 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 really cautious slow play on the Commanders' part, or, I don't know, we all got suckered into thinking, oh, that dude's going to play right away and be the difference in this two-game stretch. If not against Pittsburgh, definitely against Philadelphia. And here we are on the Monday of Dallas week, and he might not play. He's hopeful to practice. That doesn't mean he's definitely going to practice. It certainly does not mean he's definitely going to play. Also, Dan Quinn passing along, quote, Jaden Daniels is, quote, is not injured now. He said, quote, I want to start off by saying clearly, Jaden Daniels is not injured now. End quote. So, listen, a lot of times I don't believe what these teams say. A lot of times I don't believe what coaches say. They've been less than forthcoming on this. But I got to be honest with you, the more I go along in this process, while all of you were screaming about how injured he was, and I definitely think he feels it more as the game goes along. Why wouldn't you, right? You get hit, you get jostled around, you get bounced around. Certainly, you can feel soreness, maybe a little inflammation, what have you. But they are going to the nuns to say he is not injured. They're not putting him on the injury report. They are not admitting that he's injured. Again, bumped around, bruised, maybe a little bit different than injured. So there is some semantics here. But remember, they could also get in trouble with the NFL if they are not forthcoming with the injury report. So they are going out on a limb again to say the quarterback is not injured. Which means he either hasn't played well on his own volition, he hasn't played well against two really good opponents, or what I contend to be the truth, and I don't know this, I just feel this, is when you play football 17 consecutive weeks in a row, practice, preseason games, training camp, at the facility every day at 5 a.m. or whatever it is, games, 11 regular season games, second in 5 days, short week on the road against really tough customers, you're not going to play well all the time. You're going to be out of gas sometimes. And that's what I think happened here. Jaden Daniels has never been in this situation, and now he is. So hopefully this weekend break refreshed everybody, and the Commanders can move forward. Dallas Cowboys, the opponent, they play on Monday Night Football tonight against the Houston Texans. And that is Clean Up on aisle three.
Clean Up in aisle three.
Yes, indeed. So Marshawn Lattimore, they're hopeful that he can play. Now, Dan Quinn did add later on in the press conference, according to Nikki and all the reporters there, that, quote, we're trending in a really strong way in terms of Lattimore. I assume that means to play and not practice, but I'm not sure what exactly that means. But I would think we're trending in a really strong way would mean he's got now a chance to play, maybe a good chance to play on Sunday against the Cowboys. Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up next. M&M's upon us in this Christmas season.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, the great Marvin Gaye. But How Sweet It Is doesn't always stand for love in the classic sense. Sometimes How Sweet It Is could stand for a sweet treat.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Ah, yes, from the New York Post. Maddie found this one. Headline, M&M's drops puffy red jacket with pockets for snacks that's perfect for gluttons this holiday season. Sounds like a great deal, right? It's a red jacket with pockets with
easy snackcess.
Yeah, easy snackcess. It looks like a strap belt in front where you can button up the jacket and hold like a bucket of popcorn. It's got interior snack blend pockets. It's got all sorts of different things. And check this out. It's got an interior flashlight so that you can check around your seat and all that stuff. It's got napkins, a seat finder flashlight, stocked with M&Ms, of course, and a complimentary annual movie pass. All for the low, low price, get this, of $11.75. Who could go wrong? What a great deal. I wish I would have. I'm not even a huge M&Ms guy. What a great deal. $11.75 for that? The problem? There was only 14 of them made. In a country that has 375 bazillion people, there was 14 jackets made.
Oh, you know those are secondhand market going for
$10,000. Oh, and they dropped them in two drops of seven, I guess, according to Parade Magazine. Again, $11.75, and you get all of that we mentioned. But there's only 14 of them. They have the big M&M's logo. I mean, it's a red puffer coat. Perfect, right?
They should just sell it at the New York M&M's World at Times Square.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I would even say, sell it without all that stuff in it.
Oh, no, keep the stuff in it, but like, maybe no movie pass.
Or
but.
Whatever. I mean, people would buy that in droves. Like you said, the M&M store, just anywhere, any store, at a movie theater, anywhere. I mean, you don't even have to put all that stuff. I mean, it's such a great bargain, such a great value. I almost feel bad for kind of, but 14 of them in a country of 375 million?
I think that they're a little stupid looking too. You, I mean, because it's a puffer, because of the big M, and because it's the same shade of red as their normal M&Ms, I mean, you do look like an M&M. I feel like anybody that would wear it, it'd be cool, it'd be fun to wear, but much like a Snuggie, you'd look like an idiot.
Yeah, and also that.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
So what we're essentially saying is, whoever makes M&Ms, bad idea to only sell 14 of them. Whoever would purchase this, wear this, you're a walking billboard.
And we're jealous.
And we're jealous and you're a fool. That does it for Dumb Dumb of the Day. That does it for our show. Linnell Willingham coming up next. In for Craig Hoffman, Monday Night Football tonight. See you back here with the DOC tomorrow at 1. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to you for listening on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.